It's Jeremy White.
I'm going to have a trail of quarters from here to your car for $10. You're going to pass those 40 quarters, not pick a single one of them up, and then I'm going to take them.
I would rather you give me $3 on one of these apps than you give me $10 in quarters.
Wow. This is not a mindset to become a millionaire.
And Joe DiBiase.
You can't be Captain Crunch unless you are a captain.
Was Captain Crunch an actual captain? What were his, you know, merits?
Is it even? It's not even captain, actually.
It's Cap'n.
It's Cap'n?
That's right.
Of course he was a captain.
Yeah, I bet he faked the resume.
On Western New York sports giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, everybody. Happy Wednesday. It's going to be 80 today. 80. Summer's back. Nice to see that Venmo hit. Thank you. Joe,
you know,
Josh, and Owen all hit me $5 on the Venmo on the former Bill, future Bill Fantasy League, which, by the way, is turning out to be a smash hit.
Yes. Yeah. Immediately when the Bills bring anyone in for a visitor signing, it's Twitter asking, who had him?
Yeah. I had Gabe.
You had Gabe. I mean, I had to ask who had Gabe. I couldn't have it up at the time.
I had Gabe because the way the draft went, Josh took Rasul Douglas, which was not a bad pick. He did sign 8 minutes after the draft
yeah.
with the Dolphins.
Yep.
You, with the second pick, took Jordan Poyer.
Yep.
Bit of a surprise. And then you hit on Poyer.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, as I was sitting there in the three spot, one of those situations where at the draft, at the press conference, said, couldn't believe our luck. Couldn't believe this player fell all the way to number three.
Mm-hmm.
Grab Gabe Davis with the third pick in the former Bill, future Bill draft, and hit there as well. So Owen is up to get a win finally, maybe somewhere in here. I've got the full draft board. We're going to run waivers later because, you know, there's an open spot on my roster, and you guys got to decide if you want to tweak your roster ahead of time.
We'll have to decide on rules for that.
We already did. You were not here the one day. Were you not?
Maybe. On for waivers?
Yes. The way that it works is since I had a player hit, I pick last.
No, yeah, I know that. But we haven't run waivers since they did cut down day. So if we run waivers, aren't we just all going to pick guys that they just cut?
We did do it since then. I guess you probably weren't here. Yeah, you were off the one day.
Okay.
I got Mike White on my team. I dropped Kyle Allen and I have Mike White.
Okay. Interesting.
Former Bill, future Bill.
Okay.
Get into one of these leagues, folks.
You know, I don't like these games and bets that we've been doing because I don't know how they decide this on Schmenvo, but I go to the app and you are now listed as when I go to like, oh, hit the little icon to pay people and then you have the list of top people.
You're paying.
You're now number one.
On who you pay?
On top people. So I'm paying you as much as anybody for anything on this app. So
fair.
Between games and bets, maybe it's not going well for me. Right now,
yeah, I wish we had a tail of the tape. Maybe we got.
Well, I do. I could just go to the app and you can hit the person's name and go to history, can't you?
Yeah.
Here we go. Between you,
Five, minus five, minus five, minus ten. Minus
it's all
five.
Little increments.
Yeah.
Yep.
Great. Look at all these wins for me. Well, good morning. Happy Wednesday, Jeremy and Joe. Owen's here. Josh is here. The gang's back together. Josh back from the Adirondacks. Nice.
Yep. Scroon Lake.
Great time.
Scroon Lake.
Yeah, just outside of Lake George. It was awesome up there.
Yeah.
Little chilly though. Like it was.
Oh, yeah.
We went on the boat both days, and it was cold, but it was well worth it. Loved it up there.
Nice. Good to have you back. We'll have to get a quad box going for something today on the YouTube chat. Why not get a quad box going?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Anyway, good morning. 80 degrees today. Back to school stuff. My kids don't go to school until tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow. Which is
okay.
You know, big huge step. Got the backpacks, got the lunch boxes, got the new school clothes.
Did you drop off all the supplies? Was that already happened?
Yep, we did the supply drop off.
Nice.
And
are they excited?
I think so. I've been talking up school a lot.
Good.
How it's going to be fun, you're going to make friends, and how,
mm-hmm.
I mean, the thing I say a lot, nerd alert, I say, I loved school. Daddy loved school. I did. I loved school. I never had a problem going, never hated it.
Yeah.
You know, liked learning stuff, I guess. Never hated school at really any point until, I don't know, calculus.
Calculus.
It wasn't until calculus. I loved that.
There's something you would have been learning eventually you would have hated.
No. Calculus, and then in college, I took a course called Interpretation of Fiction that I hated.
Interpretation.
Yeah. That's where you read books and
then interpreted it.
You had to write about them. read Fried Green Tomatoes, among others. That book wasn't that bad.
Okay.
You read The Pearl. Whatever class I read, The Pearl by John Steinbeck. Hated that.
Okay.
Trying to think, what are the good books you read when you're in school?
Can you, the good books that you read in school, my history books.
Yeah.
There you go.
You liked history?
I loved history. Do you have an idea of what their favorite subjects are going to be? Like, could you predict that right now?
They're four.
Right.
So, subjects, my son's will be gym. recess. My son's will be when you're allowed to run around and crash into things.
Yes.
My daughter's favorite subject will also be recess. I don't know. Okay. Like if I was to forecast them 10 years out.
Yeah, if you had to predict in 10 years what their favorite subjects are going to be.
That's a good question. I've not thought about that. I don't know.
Science?
I loved science.
You like space, right?
Yeah,
is that over? The moon, and that was a couple years ago.
He'll like science if they're teaching about combustion engines and spoilers and the effects they have on cars. He's a car kid, so, you know.
Okay.
What did I mean, I like science. I like science. I like social studies, you know.
Yeah. My science teacher did not like me because I would always come up with questions that were, like, unanswerable. Like, I remember asking him and him getting annoyed and, like, moving on with, hey, if you drilled a hole all the way through the earth to China and I jumped through it, what would happen when I got to the other side? Would I be upside down?
Neil deGrasse Tyson has answered this question on YouTube, by the way.
That question?
Well, yeah.
No, he hasn't.
Yeah, I think so.
Really?
You could... Yeah,
what do you say?
You're jumping through the earth?
Yeah.
Yeah. This answer is on YouTube.
Okay.
I think it's Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Probably turn into like a liquid by the time you get to the middle of the earth or something. Yeah.
Yeah, there's something about, I don't know.
I just wanted to know gravity. If you'd be upside down when you came out on the other side. Because you jumped in, and then you come out on the other side, and you would be what? You'd be feet first. Again, this was a question that like they weren't going to waste any time with in school.
They're like, this kid is sneaky with these questions. We're going to call him Sneaky Joe. I'm trying to think. Like, the books, the whatever. So you'll see school buses, you know, teachers are back to school. Routines are different.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we've got parents of kids that are up earlier or missing us because the kids are getting ready. Chaos and all that kind of stuff. So back to school season, back to football season. We've got our first game tomorrow with the Eagles and the Cowboys, and then the Friday game, which, by the way, I found out that they're not going to do the Brazil game next year. The plan is to not do the Brazil game next year.
Is that because they're doing an Australia game next year?
I don't know about that.
Is the Australia game they do going to be on Friday night? I mean, it'll be at some point.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know. They could, I don't know when.
They could do both, but the reason that they're not going to do the Brazil game, A, will surprise you, and B, might not hold up. They could just change their minds. I have that listed as a thing to tease for later in the show.
Okay.
So I'm teasing this tease. Not going to get to that yet. Let's get to Gabe Davis, who I scored $15 from you three on because he's the former Bill, future Bill that is back. Gabe Davis is on the practice squad.
Yep.
So?
Initially
on the practice squad. He's rehabbing an injury and on the practice squad.
Yeah.
And... what's anybody, 803-0550, for all the talk about Gabe Davis as a polarizing player, phone lines are available. Anybody want to call up and tell us how polarizing he is one way or the other? I do not think Gabe Davis is a very polarizing player. I think Gabe Davis, we all kind of know who he is and what he does. The polarizing part about Gabe Davis is how the Bills handled his time here and whether or not he was good enough for the role that they elevated him to. Because when he left, I don't remember an awful lot of, they're going to regret this. It was a little bit of, well, too expensive, don't want to pay that, it's fine. So I feel like it's a lot like Tyrod Taylor, which is, there's not some great debate here. We know exactly how good he is. The debate is, should he be elevated to this spot where he's a franchise quarterback, or must you move on, and what should the Bills do? And there might have been... you know, people on the ends firing back and forth at each other, but most of the people are in the middle thinking like, no, he's pretty good, but this isn't your long-term answer. So I don't think Davis is polarizing. I think the conversation around him and what the Bills asked him to do and trusted him to do, that is where it gets kind of, well, spicy.
Yeah, I mean, there might be some polarization as to how valuable what he does is, right? And the, you know, like, he's out there all the time on the field. He did put up, you know, like, if you think Matt Collins had a big year last year, then Gabe Davis has had four of them.
Monster years.
Because he's cleared what Matt Collins did last year in yardage and even touchdowns. I mean, yardage by 200-plus every single year he played for the Bills. So I think there's a little polarization. I mean, I still see some people out there that think he's a good, really good wide receiver. I think most probably know he's not. I don't know what he is at this point, though. Knee right. injury, right? Meniscus. And last year, total shell of himself. And I've always wondered about how he'd last in the league, given that he's a player that would catch the ball down the field. Those are his plays. Yards per reception, top of the league, near the top of the league every year that he was in the NFL. It's like him and Henry Ruggs over a four-year period were like the top two guys in the league. But he's not a speedster.
No.
He's not that. He
stacks speed vertically, but he needs time to do it. It's not a 0-60 scenario.
Right. But if now I've got any form of a deteriorated Gabe Davis, then what is he really doing for me? If he gets out onto the field, he's just going to block. What is he doing that Jackson Hawes can't do for me, I guess, out there on the field?
Wow, Jackson Hawes.
Would be my question. And I'm worried. I was not worried about Poyer because I think he didn't have a market. There was not going to be a long list of teams that were going to line up and try to get him. I don't think that was the case with Jordan Phillips either. Wasn't the case with Micah Hyde at the end. This one feels different to me. Because he's not at the end of his career, and the reporting after about he's initially on the practice squad. That doesn't sound like he'll forever be on the practice squad, and that there were other teams that were interested throughout the process, and that he's 26. Like, I think he's we've talked about Poyer back and forth. I don't think Poyer is going to get on the field much. I didn't think Micah Hyde was going to be on the field last year. I think Gabe Davis is getting on the field, and that would be a concern for me. If he steps on the field, that's a concern.
Well, last night on Hard Knocks, we learned. Did you watch Hard Knocks last night?
I missed the Hard Knocks last night.
Well, if you missed it, I wouldn't blame you. First off, you had to remember it was Tuesday.
Right. That is literally why I forgot to watch it or didn't watch it, because I forgot it was Tuesday.
So we logged in. I popped it on to watch it, and at 9 o'clock, it was not there. It took until 9:20 for whatever reason to show up for me.
Maybe HBO also forgot.
Could have been my Tuesday. House, whatever. So we started late. Poyer is part of this episode, and Poyer says, I came here to play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's like, I know, I'm not here to take anyone's job, but at the same time,
yeah,
I think I still got something for this game. So to your conversation about Poyer and Gabe, the thing with Gabe, you know, other teams were interested. Maybe that's the agent for Gabe seems to be an active agent that gets whatever, gets his messaging out there. Oh, man, I don't know what to do with the Gabe thing. We live in this time where the Bills are great, and if you come at them for anything, whether that's, hey, maybe they should have drafted a receiver in the fifth round, or whatever it is, it's, how dare you, they're good.
Yeah.
And that's not everybody. You know, everyone's got their small little criticism, so I know each and every one of you out there listening wishes they did some things differently. And with this, it's, oh, you're going to worry about Gabe Davis, the practice squad? He's on the practice squad. Who cares? He's on the practice squad. But it's another dipping back to the vibes. He is 26 years old. He had no market, in part because he gets to do what he wants here. The Jags are basically paying him. There's offset language. Wherever he signs, he doesn't make more money.
Right.
He just kind of gets what he gets. So he picks his best scenario, which is coming back to join Josh and try to work his way back in with the team that he came up with. Gabe is a great success story of a fourth-round pick. He's arguably the Bills' best ever pick at receiver. One of them. Shakir at five, Gabe at four. Those two are both really good picks, and Gabe is a home run of a pick. Diggs, of course, is a trade. And now I've got, you know, Keon Coleman. So Gabe is a success story. The thing about him now and the way this all kind of lines up is, like you said, he's like, what, wide receiver 7, 8, 9? Is he going to work his way back? Is he going to get on the field? The most under talked about thing in the last 24 hours about this is, does anybody remember Gabe Davis in the Joe Brady offense? Non-existent.
Right.
So part of me wants to say, I guess I shouldn't get too worked up about it, first off, because the practice squad player. But we talked about how Diggs couldn't find a role in the Brady offense. Gabe was below that.
Mm-hmm.
Gabe was gone. Games with zero targets.
Mm-hmm.
Games with one target. Games with zero catches. He left and went to Jacksonville, put on number zero, and a good joke was like, oh, to represent the targets he got in the Joe Brady offense. He was not a factor. He was not a part of Joe Brady's offense. He's not a yak guy. He's never been a yak guy.
No,
he's a down-the-field guy. This offense is built on yak guys. Even Keon Coleman is a great yak player. So yards after catch, separating early, anything like that, that is not the same fit.
No.
There's a part of it to me that thinks, you know, you're dipping back to a guy that you played with for a couple of years, and that's fine. That's normal. He's injured. He's working his way back. He can show a lot of players what it's like to be a Buffalo Bill. He's got chemistry with Josh. All right. But on fit, the fit, we watched it die. We watched the fit die. And they kept that coordinator, and that coordinator has had great success kind of pulling the most out of receivers. And this is a guy who, when Brady got the job, you would have thought, well, look at Gabe. I mean, I wonder if he can go to the next level. Answer, he went to zero. He became a zero under Joe Brady. So I don't know where he is in the mix. You know, as you say, the agent or whatever, the reports are initially on the practice squad.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, maybe not.
I would predict he's on the active roster at some point when he's healthy. And part of it is what he was passing on. If he had any thought that the Steelers were actually serious about signing him at some point, and maybe they didn't want to do it right now because he's got this meniscus injury, but, you know, like, he's thinking of, okay, what's best for him? And, okay, yeah, Josh Allen, and it's the Bills, I'm familiar with that. Like, okay, that might sound like that could be best for you, but if put yourself in Gabe Davis's shoes. You are a 26-year-old wide receiver. You got a year here where you're getting paid by the Jaguars. And then I think that's it, right? Like, the Jags aren't paying you for year after year after year at that.
Then you're going to need a contract.
You're going to need a contract in a year. And you're 26 years old. I'm sure he's trying to have seven more years of a career here. What's best for you? I got to get on the field. I gotta show people that I can still do it and have an opportunity to play. That's where it's different for me from Poyer is, like, he's riding off into the sunset. Jordan Phillips, they're riding off into the sunset. This guy's looking to have a career probably elsewhere. And what he passed on was a wide receiver room that features Roman Wilson, Scotty Miller, and Ben Skoronek. That's what he had to beat out to get on the field
for Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh.
With Aaron Rodgers.
With Aaron Rodgers. And here, there's a lot more names, but that's part of my concern now is, does Gabe Davis believe that, or has he been giving some indication that you can climb over these guys here? Like,
well,
this isn't going to be preventative. Curtis Samuel and Elijah Moore, for instance. Like, you're going to have a shot here, and that would be my problem.
It's chicken or egg a little bit here, but because maybe our antenna are up because of the name, or maybe the antenna are up because of the position. But where did the Bills bring back three former players to jump on the practice squad? Is it not the three positions that people would wonder about the most? Defensive tackle, safety, and wide receiver.
Yeah.
There's really nowhere else you would do it. If they brought back somebody on the offense, if Quentin Spain came back, that's a terrible name. I can't even think like who the equivalent is. They bring back somebody for offensive line. They're like, well, not worried about that. The Bills have a great offensive line. This guy's got no chance of playing.
I would say Trey White, but they already did that.
They did that with Trey White. They did with Trey White.
If they had signed like Tyrell Dodson.
Right.
Yeah.
To the practice squad. You would be whatever. He's behind Milano and Bernard and has Dorian no
Williams.
Chance. And Dorian Williams has no chance of getting on the field outside of injury. And in this case, with whether it's Jordan Phillips or it's Jordan Poyer or it's Gabe Davis, I don't think you have to work that hard to say, he might make his way through. And you'll have plenty of Bills fans calling this low risk, high reward, which I've got I want to have a conversation about that phrase, which is the most used phrase in all of sports right now.
Low risk, high reward, baby.
Low risk, high reward. Just going to start using it everywhere I go. Low risk, high reward. Honey, I bought some beans from a guy on the corner. He said they'll grow a magic beanstalk. Cost me $10. Low risk, high reward. What if it does?
Well, what if the beanstalk is Gabe Davis is playing football for you?
All right, well.
That's a risk. In my opinion, that's a risk.
That's not a high reward, right? Well, it's a practice squad guy, so, you know, it is what
but
it is.
The reward would be he stays on the practice squad all season and doesn't touch the field. That's what I would say to it.
That's what you want.
Yeah.
That's what you want. Buff in Dallas is up. Hey, Buff, good morning.
Hey, guys. I beg to differ. I think he's going to play. But this is insane when it comes to Bean. I mean, come on. Jeremy, think about it, man. This guy, he's passed probably like three different wide receiver drafts and didn't take anybody in the high two first rounder. You know what I mean? So you shouldn't have to bring back Gabe. You know, we know what he's about. But so all the guys that he signed, you mentioned Shakir and some of Bean guys that he took, like who they re-signed, restructured last season. Gabe was one of those guys who didn't get the contract, so he didn't exceed his expectations after being the fourth rounder. So to bring him back, that says a lot about Keon Coleman and the guys that are on the roster right now. So that's telling me that, man, you got to bring Gabe in. So because Keon Coleman was his replacement, if you ask me. They're kind of similar receivers, body type and everything. Would you agree or not?
No, I think they are not the same. The body type, sure, where they could play, commitment to blocking. There are things about them that are similar, but they're not the same. Coleman, again, one of the things I mentioned, like Gabe, not good yards after catch. Coleman, so far, great at it.
Yeah.
Neither one of them separates all that well, which is fine, but I feel like Coleman brings you a lot more. Coleman can give you more. We haven't seen Coleman hit anything down the field, which is something, of course, that was a specialty for Gabe.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to say that they're all that different because they're large, down the field, runway routes, get some speed behind them kind of guys that can win with body. But I just think I'll say this, Buff. I think it says nothing about Coleman. That's one thing I don't agree. I don't think anything they've done with Davis says anything about their receiving room outside of if they decide they trust him more than Tyrell Shavers or Elijah Moore. I don't think Gabe Davis touches the top three, top four on this team in any scenario outside of injury.
So basically, you're saying Gabe is what's the receiver that came over from the Raiders and the Cowboys and Cleveland? The veteran they just let go.
Mac Hollins?
Mac Hollins?
No, not Hollins. The other guy that went back to the Raiders who initially...
Oh, Amari Cooper.
Oh.
Cooper. So he's Cooper replacement. That's what you're saying?
Well, I mean, Cooper...
He's not going to touch the field right now, but after his injury and all this stuff, they're going to probably put him on.
I don't think
Cooper
so.
Didn't get much touches in this offense either.
Well, Cooper...
crazy to me.
Cooper's role... Thanks, Buff. We get into a break here. Cooper's role was supposed to be like the number one receiver. They traded a third-round pick for him to be their number one guy. And Bean this offseason said, he pointed out, they scored 7 more points per game with him in the lineup than they didn't. So he got attention. Davis, knee injury, and a lot of things. But Davis, the thing about Gabe for me that I struggle to not constantly bring up is, for 2 full years, he was their wide receiver too. And everybody, it seems, except them, knew they should have somebody better at that spot. 2 full years of Josh Allen's prime window, contending window, with a stud number one on the other side. They needed somebody to better exploit the fact you have a stud number one on the other side that could do more, and they didn't. And they rolled out wide receiver rooms with Deontay Hardy and Trent Sherfield that were like bargain basement guys. Now they've built a deeper room. I don't think Davis has a chance to get through it. That I really don't believe. I don't think he has much of a chance to get through it.
Then why'd he sign here?
Because he doesn't have options, and just like Jordan Phillips, he likes it here. Because it's the practice squad, and who'd he kick off the practice squad?
So is he accepting his career is over then?
No.
Because what's going to happen? He's going to not play this year, and then he's going to hit free agency, and someone else is going to sign him then?
He's doing the same thing that Vic Fangio does when he gets fired and becomes a consultant with the Eagles. And then if he wants a job next year, he'll go work for one. But what's Gabe going to do? He wasn't going to make any more money anywhere else. He thinks there might be an opportunity. I'm not so sure there's much of an opportunity. To Buff's point, though, and this kind of a zoom out, what would I rather have on the practice squad than Gabe Davis? A fast receiver that gets open that needs a little more seasoning. because that somebody that can get open. And you know, as we go through this, we talk about the position a lot. We talk about wide receiver a lot. Brandon being highlighted, but we talk about it a lot, even if we don't. Which, you know, this offseason was a lot about defensive end and overhauling the defense here on this show. The thing about Gabe, though, is like, I mean, I knew what he was for multiple seasons, a serviceable role player, and now he's back, and what am I going to do about it? I want developmental players instead of another callback guy.
And even, you want the seventh round pick they just dumped for this spot.
He got hurt. Caden Prather got hurt. I'd much rather have that. I'd much rather have a little bit of a belief that learning the things they do is more doable for young players. Because what they're kind of telling you is, you know, we don't have the depth of guys that know what to do. Mm-hmm. So we brought back three guys that do know what to do, I guess. It's practice squad. I'm not too bent out of shape about it. But I do think if you zoom out and look larger picture, it's just kind of like, okay, this is why we created the former Bill, future Bill draft. Because like I saw the joke yesterday, does Brandon Bean have anybody else's phone number? Which I thought was kind of funny. So Gabe's back. I don't think it's a problem. I definitely don't think it's any sort of boost. If you want to get to that, like, oh, what he's going to bring, what he can do. I don't see that at all. 803-0550, 1-888-552-550. Give us a ring. We'll talk with Sal at 7:30. Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast at 8. Kevin Ostreicher on the Ravens at 9, as it's a game week. Plenty to get to here on Gabe Davis on the Bills and this upcoming matchup with Baltimore, which is, of course, Sunday night. One day away from the season opener, Jeremy and Sneaky Joe here on WGR. Back again. Shady's back. Tell a friend. We're going to get to our former Bill, future Bill waiver draft in a moment. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Gabe Davis is back on the practice squad for the Buffalo Bills. You can give us a call on this at 803-0550 and 1-888-552-550. So for tomorrow night's game between the Eagles and the Cowboys, Nick Sirianni was alerted to the fact that the banner raising is tomorrow. He says he did not know. Oh, and the Eagles won't be out there for it. They will not be on the field.
For the banner raising?
Yes, the banner's going up, and they won't be on the field. They don't want to be known as defending champs because they want their eyes on the future rather than the past. I mean, the all-time attempt to be the hardest people possible. The Kobe job's not done to the next degree. You won the title. You want to raise the banner? Not going to watch it.
I bet Kobe was on the court when they rose.
Of course he was.
Yeah.
Of course he was.
Job was done.
Sirianni said they won't be out there for the banner raising. You know who will be out for the banner raising? CeeDee Lamb. He says, I want to watch it. He wants to see it. I want to watch it. Told Cowboys.com. Shout out to them for that, because I've still got brothers over there. It's not really anything personal, but it's something that I'm chasing. He says it'll serve as motivation. Listen, if the Bills win the Super Bowl,
kind of like when Diggs stayed out in the field when the Chiefs were on the podium that first AFC Championship.
Right, to see it. See that, to burn it in. If the Bills win the Super Bowl, I would encourage the players, in fact, to be on the field for the banner raising ceremony. Please on the field.
That'd be nice.
You don't have to be so hardcore that you don't know the banner is being raised and you're not going to be out there for it. But that's the Eagles.
Yeah.
803-0550.
Lame. I feel like it's a Nick Sirianni thing.
Dan in Ohio. Hey, Dan, good morning.
Morning, guys. Happy week one. Hey, two kind of questions/comments for you. One, the first one being, in regards to Gabe Davis, I guess the question for me is, I was never a guy that didn't want Gabe back. I wasn't that guy. I didn't want him back at 12 or 13 million, but if he'd have signed for 6 or 7, I think Gabe would have played for this team last year. And now that he's playing for 0 on a practice squad deal, it doesn't bother me. And does he have a place on the team? Who knows? We'll see how he recovers from the injury. And the second part of that same statement question is, you know, we don't think that Bean actually works in a vacuum. Is he talked to? Does he talk to? Maybe talk to McDermott. Do they talk to Josh? And what are their feelings, opinions? I'm not saying he bases their decisions solely on what they say, but it's got to be part of it, right? It's got to be part of the conversation, I would think. And maybe I'm wrong. I don't necessarily know how that works, but it's kind of my thought process around that.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of a unsaid conversation about how much are they doing that Josh wants them to do, which mm-hmm. I tend to always lean towards. If he wants it, you should give it to him.
Mm-hmm.
If he wants his backup quarterback to be somebody that he works well with, then pick that guy as the backup quarterback. And he should have a hand in who the offensive coordinator is because they get along well. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got arguably the best player in football, and who does he want to work with? If he doesn't want to work with this player, get that player out of here, you know? I think he can wield that power. I think there are plenty of Bills fans that maybe at the end of this year, or maybe even right now, this is not me, but would want him to say something about the coach and demand something different. If you're someone that doesn't like McDermott, you might be hoping that Josh forces him out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's pretty far down the line. But I think it's fine when a GM leans on a player for, you know, hey, it's a coin toss between this guy and this guy for a coordinator job. Or on the practice squad, you know, if he says, I'd really like Gabe back, I don't have a big problem with that. You know, he's not the GM, but if he's having some input in decisions, I'm not going to be bothered by that.
But he didn't throw to him the last time he was here.
That's right.
Except for two games. You want his game log really quick? One, Joe Brady and Gabe Davis together.
They had like six games with one target or less.
0 for 0. 6 for 105 and a touchdown. Again, like there's a couple big games mixed in.
That's
here.
The Eagles game where ultimately he misreads leverage on a play, and if he doesn't, they win the game.
Like 6 for 105 and a touchdown sounds good. Does it sound good still if I tell you it's on 12 targets? Not as good. Still fine. Yeah. After that, 0 for 0. After that, 0 for 0. 4 for 130 and a touchdown.
Pretty good.
Charger game. 2 for 21. 0 for 0. He's done. That's it. Not a factor, except for two games. And he actually had a 0 right before Brady came in against the Bengals. So one in his last, in the second half of his last year with the Bills, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games where he didn't have a catch.
Right.
That's with him starting and being on the field for 90% of the snaps, 88% of the snaps, 96%. Like, he's on the field and giving you zeros.
That's part of where it kind of reads to me like, well, tell me about the fit, right? Oh, well, he was here before. Tell me about the fit. He did not fit with the offense that they switched to. So, you know, but it's fine.
Wonder where he would rank on Bills starts at receiver with 0 catches. What's that list going to look like?
Wow. Starts and 0 catches.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like,
I don't know how many times he would have done it before that half a year where he had zeros. I mean, there were a lot of games where he wasn't really involved, even before Brady became the coordinator. There's just these big... I mean, Pro Football Reference, his nickname is Big Game Gabe, and that is 99% the 13 seconds game, right? But maybe part of it also is, like, this is what he was in fantasy. Hey, he might give you 6 for 100 and a touchdown, or he might give you 1 for 30.
Yeah. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Gabe Davis back on the practice squad. Bills, what else on Hard Knocks last night? You didn't see it.
No, I'll have to watch it today.
A lot of you might have forgot it was Tuesday.
Was it good? It was the finale, right?
Was it good? Sure.
Compared to the other ones?
It was fine. It's good if you're a Bills fan. It was so much fluff, if I could say that, but without trying to sound like it's bad. The series was mostly fluff.
Yeah. Did I get any, like, them telling players they were cut or released?
No, what you got...
That, I would have been looking for that.
What you did get
How they do that.
McDermott giving a speech to the players that were on the practice squad as part of the room. Like, you're important. If you're on the practice squad, you have an important job. Because you got to be ready. You might get the call. Make sure you're ready. Make sure you're doing what you're supposed to do on the practice squad. Jimmy Charlo was in this episode a little bit. You know, Dawkins was funny again. A lot about the community and how whenever they go do something, mm-hmm. you know, the fans always support them. Ty Johnson line dancing at a country bar.
Okay.
That was cool. That's funny.
So they really stuck with the off-field stuff.
Well, they did that. And
or out of building
there's
stuff.
There's a lot of good Josh content in this one, too.
Okay.
Really good Josh content. You know, talking about whatever. They talked about what it would be like to win here. Allen saying he could picture the parade. He can picture the walk up the stairs to win the Super Bowl. And a lot of really good stuff. It's the kind of thing where I would like to watch this every single year because it is PR and it is whatever. It's a hype video for your team. And it's some practice you don't normally see. So,
but like you would only want to watch it about the Bills.
Yeah, I would have a tough time watching this about any team, other team, because I don't feel like I actually learned anything about them other than they have some cool guys. You know, watching
cool guys. Yeah,
they have some cool guys, and watching Hard Knocks, it's well done. It's put together well. It's not what it used to be, where it's life in the NFL. Like Hard Knocks. Why was it named that? Because it's a cutthroat league. It's a tough business. It's Hard Knocks. And now what is it? Now it might as well be, you know, I don't say it's like soft, but it's just different. It's a PR campaign for your team. I can't imagine a team watching the treatment that the Bills got from this and thinking we don't want
to
be on it.
Every team should run to it.
Yeah,
as long as the show lasts.
If you're a team that has whatever trouble with your fans, your relationship is fractured, get yourself on Hard Knocks. Show them you got some good players. You're the Jets. You should try to be on it without Aaron Rodgers.
That's
my review, I guess. I liked it, but I don't think it was any sort of groundbreaking, dramatic feat. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550.
Answer on games with zero catches in Bills history and starting at receiver, Andre Reed has the most with 11.
Okay. He played a lot of games.
Then a guy from the 70s and then Gabe Davis, who had six.
And how many games?
He had Gabe Davis.
Yeah. Like, is it more per game?
It is more per game. Again, though, it's six total, and five of them were in his last.
With like Joe Brady.
Eight games. Yeah.
803-0550, our phone number. When we get back, I teased this tease. The reason the NFL will not be playing on Friday in Brazil next year. They're not playing on Friday is the story. So this game we get with the Chargers and the Chiefs in 2 days, that game won't happen next year, and we'll tell you why.
Hey, couple weeks, the inaugural Back Tee Golf Classic will be Monday, September 29th at Gowanda Country Club. It'll be a fun day, a lot of golf community giving back, car giveaway at a par 3 hole-in-1, $10,000 cash prize, going to be awesome. If you would like to donate, Spina Bifida Clinic at Oshai Children's Hospital, backteegolfclassic.com, and there's a donate button there, so check out the website. Again, backteegolfclassic.com. It's coming up on September 29th.
So tomorrow, 6:30, we're going to have a member of the 6 a.m. club, Ed McGrogan, senior editorial manager at Tennis Channel. He'll be on at 6:30 tomorrow to talk to us about Jesse Pegula in the semifinal at the U.S. Open.
Nice.
So that's great. Tomorrow at 6:30, yeah.
Venus Williams got eliminated yesterday in the doubles. Would have been cool to see her keep going.
Yeah.
But she's going to keep playing, she said. She's 45.
Okay.
So we'll see. It's kind of a comeback tour a little bit. And Pegula still going for her first major, so.
Which would be massive.
It'd be, yeah, crazy.
Sean in Long Island. Hey, Sean, good morning.
Hey, gentlemen, good morning. How are you?
Good.
All right. So I don't know where Bean's priorities really are at. It's very frustrating to see, because you take a look back. I mean, I was done with Daquan Jones at the end of the Bengals game 3 years ago when they got ousted and they got ran all over. Oliver doesn't offer anything, I think, in the middle other than an occasional flash play. You know, he's solid, but he's not, definitely not, he hasn't lived up to his draft status. To me, it's so obvious what needs to be done. It really is. You call Tennessee, what do you want for Jeffrey Simmons? You guys are going nowhere this year. We can offer you Ed Oliver and or Daquan Jones along with the second round pick. And boom, all of a sudden, you've got yourself a Dexter Lawrence-style, you know, D-tackle in the middle that's going to affect the rest of the D-line in a positive way. And you can solve these issues. He hangs on to these guys, these average players, for the sake of just being average or being serviceable without really trying to make a move to make a major upgrade. And we're going into the season again. I feel a hell of a lot better going up against Derrick Henry with somebody like a Jeffrey Simmons in the middle as opposed to Daquan and Ed Oliver, who, frankly, get bossed around. They really do. Daquan, I think, is toast. I just am frustrated with the lack of attempt in really kind of figuring out the issue that he's been chasing for 9 years and hasn't been able to solve. So that's my frustration.
Thanks, Sean. Jeffrey Simmons is currently a $22 million cap hit. So that requires a lot of work if you were going to do something like that. He does have an out in his contract after this year. 28 years old, one of the best defensive tackles in the league. I'd imagine that Tennessee will just like redo that and keep things going. I mean, they've got a rookie quarterback. So
who he got in a fight with, by the way.
Good.
Although I think they're okay.
Jordan Phillips got in a fight. That was one other thing from Hard Knocks. Jordan Phillips labeled Ray Davis. He's like, he spun into me, knocked him over, and the Bills kind of got in a fight at practice a little bit.
Yeah, Cam Ward had like a funny comment. I don't remember the exact quote after he got asked about him and Simmons fighting at practice after. And he said something like, it's the strongest human being I've ever run into in my entire life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From Hard Knocks, one of the funny notes was like, Jordan Phillips, you know, he hits Davis, knocks him over, and there's a little dust up. And Trey White says to him on the sidelines, like, you're always trying to fight everybody.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Trey White in this episode, too. Well, maybe in the bloopers. The end of season blooper should be a whole episode. And, you know, they run the stuff at the credits.
Mm-hmm.
Should be a whole episode. It's great. All right, 803-0550. On that point, Sean, you bring about, I don't know, I want to say mediocrity. I saw something Friday that I did not yet bring up on the show. If you're someone that watched the Micah Parsons trade happen and ask, where is all the Bills' money? Have a stat on that from Joe Marino. I'm going to borrow from Joe Marino, and who will join us at 8, and tell you something about the way the Bills use their cap. This is not it's bad, but this is how it is different from some of the other contenders, what they value that the other teams don't seem to as much. That's next.